Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ grossed more than $117 million in its first 5 days in theaters around the country. Nearly half the ticket sales came this weekend, putting it in the number one box office slot and making it the first movie of 2004 to cross the $100 million mark. Critic Bob Mondello found the film to be something of a mixed blessing, but he notes that the movie has had an unexpected and positive side effect.
I want to thank Mel Gibson for one thing, and for me it's no small thing. His film, The Passion of the Christ, and the extravagant hype and controversy surrounding it have forced movie reviewers to do some of the most analytical work they've done in years. Writers who are usually charged with offering opinions on the believability of comic book characters and the acting of Reese Witherspoon have been grappling this week with questions of theology, history, and faith, and they've been working under the pressure of the filmmaker's reported comments to religious groups that critics of his film are the dupes of Satan. Reviewers have understandably been very careful in explaining how they arrived at their judgments. They've articulated how cinematic form affects narratives and explored at length the ways in which extended violence can alter a viewing experience. Pretty much across the board, film writers seem to have realized that a thumbs-up or thumbs-down approach just wasn't going to cut it this time. It's as if a whole generation of reviewers suddenly remembered that they were spiritual heirs of the great 1960s critics Pauline Kael and Andrew Saras, who argued passionately about the intersection of art and society, and who wrote as if the medium they were critiquing had the power to change the world. Hollywood has gone soft and squishy since they held sway, but in criticism this week, there was again a recognition that what's up on the screen can actually matter. Take Los Angeles Times critic Kenneth Turan. He called some of Gibson's directorial choices inspired, but also voiced distress in his Morning Edition review that The Passion of the Christ struck him as more likely to separate people than to bring them together.
The filmmakers have insisted that the film is not anti-Semitic, and I don't question their sincerity. But the film's portrayal of Pontius Pilate as powerless before the machinations of the Jews will, completely without intending to, provide fuel for anti-Semites. What is profoundly disheartening is that men and women of goodwill will see a different film than I have. They will be as oblivious to what I see as its dangers and drawbacks as they'll say I am to its strengths. Where I see sadistic violence, they see transcendence. Where I see blame, they see truth.
Though other critiques have ranged from wildly positive to angrily negative, Turan's passion about The Passion is fairly representative. So is his zeal for connecting the film's world to the world outside the Cineplex. For the Chicago Sun-Times, Roger Ebert, an enthusiastic supporter of The Passion, penned a startlingly personal essay in which he reflected on his childhood days as an altar boy. The Washington Post published several reviews, with movie critic Anne Hornaday writing extensively on the 19th-century mystic, whose violent visions were cited by Gibson as an influence, and art critic Paul Richard analyzing the film's visuals, which are modeled on Roman Catholic post-Reformation artwork. To say that Adam Sandler movies don't inspire this sort of critical response is to understate the case rather radically. Few films in the 40 years since the French New Wave have inspired such varied critical approaches or provoked so many literary citations, everything from theological tracts to television interview transcripts. The New York Times began and ended its review with references to Homer Simpson, and Times critic A.O. Scott was not being glib. Those references anchored a provocative discussion of narrative logic in film and how it colors an audience's experience of The Passion, according to Mel. It's intriguing to think what would happen if so many critics had applied so much thought and research to the rest of Hollywood's output this year. Would we still be talking about a special effects extravaganza as the leading candidate for Best Picture tonight? Who knows? But for a few weeks it has certainly been a heady time to be a movie critic. You wouldn't believe the mail I've been getting. Won't last, though. This coming Friday, the big Hollywood opening is Starsky and Hutch. I'm Bob Mondello.